Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced from alexmercedcoder.com, and welcome to another episode of Web Dev 101. So now that we kind of rebirthed the podcast, I'm going to kind of start from the beginning, which is what is a web application? Okay, so that way, if you're new to this podcast or you're someone who's new to web development, we're going to kind of build up everything kind of from scratch. So what is a web application? And again, I have plenty of tutorials and lessons and videos about how to do these things to become a great developer. You can check those out at either grokoverflow.com, that's grokoverflow.com, or devnursery.com. And I do highly recommend joining the Slack and Discord communities, which you'll find linked there as well. Now, a web application. So at the end of the day, when we think about any kind of application, it's just an application that allows us to do something on our computer. Okay, so there's desktop applications, which generally are these pieces of software which generally open up in their own window and they communicate directly with your operating system. So your operating system is the thing that tells your computer pretty much how to work. Like how do you communicate with the different pieces of hardware on your computer? So like how do I communicate with a printer? Which technically that's done through drivers which connect for your operating system. So every operating system basically tells the computer how to work, and the drivers tell it how to interact with pieces of hardware. But a desktop application generally is like, again, it's its own window. It has access to the operating systems, like APIs to be able to like read files, write files, access the network. These are all things we take for granted. These are like different features that are built into your operating system to be able to like communicate, with other computers, network stuff. To be able to write files to the hard drive, to be able to read the files on the hard drive. Okay, so generally a desktop application has direct access to these APIs. And again, whenever I say API, it just means like it stands for an application programming interface. And what it just refers to is just like the way you talk to the thing. Okay, so your operating system has certain APIs, ways to talk to your operating system that are used for like, again, file input output, talking about across a network and other things. Now, web applications traditionally are like a little bit different. They generally work in a web browser. So you have a desktop application that is a web browser like Chrome or Firefox or Microsoft Edge and so forth. And generally, what happens is that this web application is instead delivered through the browser. So you experience it through the browser. So if you ever use like something like Google and like Google Docs and email, Google Gmail, that's a web application. It's an application that allows you to do something on your computer, but it generally doesn't have direct access to the operating system and the user's computer. You have access to whatever you have access to the browser. And then the browser has APIs that may or may not allow you to interact with the operating system itself. But you don't get to interact directly with the operating system. And that's a nice thing about it, in the sense that it kind of creates this layer that's a little bit harder for someone to give you sort of like malicious software because, they have to go through the browser and the browser has like limitations on how much access it gives to application creators. Although the amount of access it gets has grown quite a bit because we want more and more of our applications to be running out of the browser. Okay. And nowadays, it gets a little bit more complicated because you have like applications that we oftentimes would consider front-end applications and applications that are considered back-end applications, but they're still web applications. So a front-end web application is probably what you usually would think of a web application. It's like that thing that you experience that runs in your browser, and so forth. Okay, so that's front-end. It's the actual code, the actual application that's running in your browser. But oftentimes there's a lot of things that when it comes to creating like a unified experience for the user that you don't want running inside Chrome for security reasons, for performance reasons. So you want this code being run on a whole separate computer. The separate computer that's somewhere out in the wild is called the server. Okay? And generally the part of your application or the part of the whole shebang that runs there is referred to as the backend application. So that code that runs in your browser, it's essentially code that runs on that computer and again generally has access to that computer's operating system and APIs, but it's not operating on your computer, it's operating on some strange computer out in the ether. Okay, so typically the experience you'd have is, as a web user, is you type in some sort of URL into the browser that sends a message to some server out there in the wild, and that backend application, based on your request, because you made a request from the browser, you said, hey, I want this website, will take a look at how it's programmed, then based on your request, be like, okay, hey, based on your request, this is what you asked for. And will deliver you some files, some data, and that's what the backend application is doing. Typically, it's going to deliver files. Okay, so typically you'll receive what's called an HTML file. And generally the HTML file will then link to other files like CSS files, JavaScript files, which then get loaded in and make your web application experience happen. Cool. But sometimes that backend application doesn't deliver files. It delivers data, usually in the form of what's called JSON, JavaScript Object Notation. Usually, if you're the end user, you're probably not seeing these particular applications at work. Usually, it's going to be someone else's front-end application that's going to communicate with these sort of JSON endpoints. Grabbing this JSON data from a server out there, so that way they can like feed your application. Like they're getting your emails and getting your list of things you've created on the application. But essentially, like that's a web application. In the same way that a mobile application is an application that runs on a mobile phone, usually in the form of, you know, like a native mobile app, meaning it gets its own little app icon, is sold in the app application store. Okay, and I'll introduce one more. Actually, I'll introduce two more types of applications. First off, I want to talk about what's called a progressive web app. So this kind of crosses the world between mobile and web applications. And essentially all a progressive web app is you create a web application that works just as good as a native mobile application, but instead of delivering it through the app store, you deliver it through the browser. So it's like nowadays you probably just notice this and you just take this for granted, but nowadays you can go to many of your favorite web applications and in your like Chrome on your browser, and it works pretty much just the same as if you downloaded the individual app. And this is from the growth of just like the amount of API, like the amount of operating system APIs that web browsers have access to, and how many browser APIs give access to that to developers. Okay, so again, it basically each step of the way, like I can't communicate with something else unless it has a way for me to communicate with it, and that's the API, the application programming interface, the way that one piece of software talks to another piece of software for a particular reason. So progressive web apps are really just web apps that run really well on mobile. Okay, they're designed to work on the mobile level. Then the final type of application are like Web3 applications, which are in the past you might have heard of like as blockchain applications or crypto applications, and really it does go beyond that. Like Web3 is really more just about decentralization in general. The idea of like a web where you don't necessarily save all data in the same place, where you're not communicating with a single server. So these kinds of decentralized technologies are referred to as Web3 technologies. The idea being like the future of the web is decentralized. This could be a blockchain, okay, where you have like lots of different nodes distributed over, that all hold copies of a blockchain and track its transactions. This could be something like IPFS, the Interplanetary File System, which uses something like a lot like, you might remember something called like torrents, that was used a lot for file sharing, still is. Basically runs a network like that for sharing content on the web. You could be thinking of, there's a lot of different other models for handling like decentralized communication on the web. But the bottom line is just that whenever you think of Web3, it's generally this sort of like circle of like how can we do things in a more decentralized way, oftentimes including cryptocurrency and blockchain, but not always. So now that you have like this picture, like okay, hey, there's different types of applications, you have a better idea of sort of like developing. The cool thing about this is that nowadays for all these types of applications, whether it's mobile, because before, once upon a time, you'd have to learn a different language like Swift or Kotlin in order to create mobile apps. You would have to learn HTML, CSS, and JavaScript so you can create web applications. You'd have to learn something like C++ or C# or Java or whatnot to create a desktop application. But nowadays, the web technologies, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, have several ways that allow you to kind of do all of the above. You can create desktop applications using HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. You can create web applications in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. You can create mobile applications with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And you can do some aspects of Web3 development in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So that's why, like, a lot of what I'm going to be focusing on in this podcast is HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Because at the end of the day, those technologies are now everywhere. And then if you start going beyond just sort of application building, the things like data analytics and data engineering, you're starting to see a little bit of a creep, not as much a creep of web technologies, but a little bit. I do expect that the use of JavaScript and data will probably grow over time. You're seeing it a little bit in Google with like things like user-defined functions in BigQuery and other places. But that's there. You'll see like a little bit more dominion by the language of Python. And Python just recently released something called like PyScript that's trying to like also give Python a little bit more room to exist in the web space. So there are these like little like trends that are pretty interesting. And again, this podcast will be discussing all these things and going forward. But again, make sure you want to learn more about development. Head over to devnursery.com, head over to grokoverflow.com. You'll find plenty of tutorials and videos and ways that I can help you learn more about development and web development. Have a wonderful day and enjoy.